cortical and subcortical generators of specific EEEG rhythms. Cortical and subcortical structures contribute differentially to the generation of specific EEG rhythms. These rhythms reflect the interaction of excitatory and inhibitory neurons in the cortex, modulated by subcortical pacemakers such as those found in the thalamus and basal forebrain. Each frequency band, from slow delta waves to fast gamma oscillations, is associated with particular behavioral and cognitive states. Understanding these generators helps clinicians interpret EEG data and apply it in neurofeedback and other brain-based interventions. Rhythmic patterns can provide diagnostic clues and inform treatment planning for a range of conditions. The organization of neural generators is hierarchical and state-dependent. During rest, slower rhythms like alpha and theta emerge, reflecting idling or internally focused attention. As arousal increases, faster rhythms such as beta and gamma become more prominent, signaling task engagement and active processing. These shifts are modulated by ascending subcortical systems that alter cortical excitability. EEG rhythms are thus emergent properties of multiple interacting networks, not isolated frequency-specific phenomena. Clinicians use knowledge of these rhythm generators to tailor interventions. For example, enhancing sensorimotor rhythm, SMR, can improve attentional control and reduce impulsivity. Suppressing excessively high beta activity may reduce symptoms of anxiety and hypervigilance. The specificity of rhythm generation by region and circuit offers numerous clinical applications, particularly in biofeedback and neurotherapy. This functional understanding bridges basic neuroscience and practical therapeutic strategy. Slow cortical potentials, 0-1 Hz. Slow cortical potentials, SCPs, are very slow shifts in electrical activity that last from several hundred milliseconds to several seconds. Unlike faster rhythms, SCPs are not oscillatory, but instead represent prolonged shifts in cortical excitability. Negative SCPs are associated with increased likelihood of neuronal firing, while positive SCPs reflect decreased excitability. These shifts originate in the apical dendrites of pyramidal neurons and are influenced by both neuronal and glial activity. Glial cells, especially astrocytes, contribute to these signals through ionic regulation and metabolic support. SCPs serve as a foundation for organizing faster EEG rhythms. They appear to modulate the timing of other oscillations and facilitate large-scale network coordination. SCPs have been linked to preparatory states, motivation, and sustained attention. In clinical practice, training individuals to regulate SCPs has shown promise in conditions such as ADHD, epilepsy, and motor disorders. SCP neurofeedback involves teaching patients to shift cortical excitability through real-time feedback, enhancing self-regulation and cognitive control. These potentials offer insight into brain function at a level closer to metabolic and neurochemical processes. They reflect global state changes rather than discrete responses to stimuli, making them useful indicators of readiness and engagement. Because of their slow timescale, SCPs are especially useful for assessing and training volitional control over attention and arousal. This makes them valuable in both research and therapeutic contexts. Their integration into neurofeedback protocols represents a powerful tool for enhancing cortical self-regulation. Perspective on fast cortical potentials. Fast cortical potentials refer to the oscillatory activity typically measured in the delta to gamma frequency bands. These include traditional rhythms such as delta, 0.5 4 Hz, theta, 4 8 Hz, alpha, 8 to 13 Hz, beta, 13 to 30 Hz, and gamma, above 30 Hz. These frequencies are not rigidly fixed, but instead vary based on context, region, and individual differences. For example, beta activity may reflect focused attention in one context and anxiety in another. The interpretation of fast potentials must therefore consider waveform morphology, spatial distribution, and behavioral state. These rhythms arise from coordinated synaptic activity in neural ensembles and reflect the interplay of excitatory and inhibitory processes. Local field potentials measured at the scalp provide a summation of these dynamics. Fast potentials are highly responsive to external stimuli and internal states, changing within milliseconds. This rapid responsiveness makes them valuable for tracking cognition, emotion, and sensory processing in real time. They can be enhanced or suppressed through training, medication, or neuromodulation. In clinical settings, fast cortical potentials are used to assess alertness, cognitive load, and affective states. For example, elevated beta in the right frontal cortex is associated with anxiety and rumination, while increased SMR is linked to focused calmness. Neurofeedback protocols often aim to modulate these rhythms to promote desired states. Understanding their neural origins and functional implications is essential for effective intervention. These fast dynamics provide a real-time readout of the brain's functional state and are central to EEG-based therapies. Delta, 0.5 to 3 kHz. Delta waves are the slowest measurable brain waves and are typically associated with deep, restorative sleep, particularly stage 3 non-REM sleep. These waves originate from thalamocortical networks and may be reinforced by glial activity and cortical columns firing in synchrony. In waking adults, the presence of delta waves can indicate pathology, including traumatic brain injury, encephalopathy, or other neurological conditions. However, delta activity is normal in infants and young children, as it reflects developmental patterns of brain maturation. Its frontal predominance in awake states can be especially informative in clinical EEG assessments. Delta oscillations have a broad synchronizing function and are thought to help regulate information flow across distant brain regions. They contribute to basic survival functions, including sleep and autonomic regulation. During sleep, delta rhythms are believed to support memory consolidation and metabolic waste clearance through the glymphatic system. In waking states, especially when excess delta is localized, it may reflect dysfunction or cortical disconnection. For example, focal delta can be seen in lesions, while generalized excess delta might suggest diffuse slowing from metabolic encephalopathy. Neurofeedback protocols rarely reward delta activity except in specific contexts like guided relaxation or pain management. More often, delta is suppressed or inhibited to reduce symptoms such as drowsiness, distractibility, or cognitive fog. In clinical practice, recognizing delta patterns can support diagnoses and monitor the progress of recovery from injury or illness. When integrated with other physiological data, delta provides insight into neural integrity and alertness. Its interpretation requires careful consideration of context, age, and coexisting clinical symptoms. Theta, 3D 8 Hz. Theta activity occupies a frequency range between delta and alpha and is associated with states such as drowsiness, daydreaming, meditation, and memory-related processing. It is prominently generated by the hippocampus and limbic structures and often detected in the midline frontal cortex, for example, FCZ, during tasks requiring internal focus or emotional processing. Theta can signal healthy introspection, creativity, and memory consolidation, especially during light sleep and relaxed wakefulness. However, excessive frontal theta is often seen in conditions such as ADHD, depression, and traumatic brain injury. It may be a marker of cortical underactivation or impaired arousal. In developmental contexts, elevated theta is normal in children and tends to decline with age. A commonly used clinical ratio, the theta-beta ratio, can help assess attentional control, particularly in the diagnosis of ADHD. When the ratio exceeds certain thresholds, especially in children and adolescents, it may reflect difficulties with alertness and inhibitory control. Theta may also increase transiently during states of emotional regulation, problem-solving, or retrieval of autobiographical memories. This highlights its dual role in both functional and dysfunctional states. Clinicians use theta training in several contexts, either to inhibit excessive frontal theta or to enhance posterior theta in specific relaxation or peak performance protocols. Theta is also targeted in alpha-theta neurofeedback, a method often used for trauma recovery and addiction treatment. This protocol promotes deep relaxation and emotional processing by guiding clients through transitional states. Understanding the diverse roles of theta supports its informed application in psychological and neurological interventions. It remains one of the most versatile and informative EEG bands in clinical practice. Rhythmic slow wave, RSW, or theta. Rhythmic slow wave, RSW, activity, typically within the theta band, appears most often in midline regions during waking states. It reflects the influence of limbic and thalamic generators and is often seen at FCEs, a site associated with error monitoring and task-related attention. Unlike random theta activity, RSW shows sustained rhythmicity and coherence, which may signal focused internal processing. It is enhanced during meditative states, altered consciousness, and states of relaxed attention. RSW patterns are particularly relevant in alpha-theta neurofeedback, where they facilitate global synchronization and trauma resolution. RSW is rarely enhanced frontally unless there is pathology or specific training intent. It is typically inhibited in neurofeedback protocols aimed at reducing distractibility or emotional dysregulation. Conversely, it may be rewarded in protocols designed for peak performance, creative visualization, or post-traumatic stress treatment. RSW patterns may also emerge in posterior regions where they overlap with slowed alpha, especially during shifts from active to passive mental states. These transitions can reflect shifts in sensory gating and self-referential processing. By promoting or reducing RSW activity, clinicians can modulate emotional tone, cognitive flexibility, and attention regulation. The decision to train this pattern should be guided by clinical presentation and individual neurophysiological profiles. Understanding RSW and its context-sensitive implications enables its careful integration into neurofeedback plans. It offers an example of how subtle variations in rhythm and topography convey important functional information. Ultimately, RSW is a signature of a brain poised between deep introspection and dynamic readiness. Alpha, 8-13 Hz. Alpha rhythms are among the most studied and easily recognizable EEG patterns. They are prominent in posterior regions during relaxed wakefulness, especially with eyes closed, and typically range between 8 and 13 Hz. These rhythms are generated by thalamocortical loops and reinforced by cortical feedback, particularly involving the visual system. Alpha rhythms are not merely signs of cortical idling. They reflect active inhibition of sensory input, facilitating internal focus and energy conservation. Their amplitude and distribution vary by age, cognitive state, and neurophysiological health. Alpha can be subdivided into low alpha, 8 to 10 Hz, and high alpha, 10 to 13 Hz, with functional distinctions. Low alpha is often associated with inattentiveness or drowsiness, while high alpha corresponds with calm alertness and focused internal awareness. Alpha asymmetry, especially between the left and right frontal regions, has been linked to emotional regulation and mood disorders. Excess alpha can indicate underarousal or withdrawal, while diminished alpha may reflect hyperarousal or sensory overload. These patterns offer insight into attentional engagement, affective balance, and overall cortical regulation. Neurofeedback protocols often target alpha rhythms to train relaxation, cognitive efficiency, or mood stabilization. For example, enhancing high alpha in the right parietal region may improve focus and calmness, while reducing frontal alpha asymmetry can support mood regulation. In mindfulness and meditation practices, increases in alpha coherence are observed, suggesting integrative network functioning. Clinical conditions such as PTSD, anxiety, and OCD frequently show alpha abnormalities, making this rhythm clinically significant. Alpha training remains one of the most established and flexible approaches in neurofeedback. Posterior dominant rhythm, PDR. The posterior dominant rhythm, PDR, is a specific type of alpha rhythm typically observed over occipital regions. It emerges early in childhood and matures through adolescence, with its frequency and amplitude reflecting developmental milestones. PDR begins around 4 hertz in infancy and accelerates to approximately 10 hertz by adolescence, stabilizing in adulthood. Amplitude can vary widely, often peaking in early development and declining with age. PDR is sensitive to both cognitive and neurological health, with disruptions often indicating pathology. The presence and strength of PDR serve as indicators of cortical maturation and integrity. A well-formed, symmetrical PDR suggests healthy brain function, while an absent or irregular PDR may suggest developmental delays or diffuse cerebral dysfunction. In neuropsychological assessment, PDR frequency has been linked to IQ, memory performance, and attentional capacity. It is also affected by neurodegenerative conditions such as dementia, where slowing of PDR can signal progression. For clinicians, PDR is a valuable biomarker in EEG interpretation. Training to normalize or enhance PDR can be beneficial in cognitive rehabilitation and performance enhancement. For example, athletes or executives may seek to optimize PDR for improved visual processing and reaction time. In neurofeedback, PDR is often used as a reference rhythm to assess eyes open and eyes closed transitions. It is also a component of protocols targeting peak alpha frequency, which is thought to reflect optimal cognitive processing. Overall, PDR reflects a fundamental rhythm of brain readiness and visual integration. Normal amplitudes. EEG amplitudes provide additional insight into brain function, with normal ranges varying by frequency, band, location, and age. For alpha rhythms in adults, typical amplitudes range from 20 to 60 microvolts, with occasional values exceeding 60 microvolts in some individuals. Amplitudes are generally higher in children and decrease with age, reflecting changes in cortical thickness and synaptic density. The distribution of amplitude can also reveal hemispheric asymmetries or localized cortical dysregulation. Excessively low or high amplitudes, particularly if asymmetrical, may indicate neurological or psychiatric disturbances. Clinical interpretation of amplitude requires contextual awareness. Higher alpha amplitudes are often found over the right hemisphere and may correlate with dominant perceptual processing styles. Developmental changes, such as increased beta amplitude during adolescence, should be distinguished from pathological increases due to anxiety or stimulant overuse. Similarly, low amplitudes may reflect underarousal, fatigue, or thalamocortical disconnectivity. Neurofeedback practitioners use amplitude thresholds to set reward and inhibit bands for training-specific states. Understanding amplitude norms helps clinicians avoid misinterpretation and guides effective protocol design. It also supports the differentiation of true cortical signals from artifacts, such as those caused by muscle tension or eye movements. When combined with frequency analysis and topographical mapping, amplitude assessment provides a rich profile of brain function. This enhances diagnostic accuracy and treatment precision across neurotherapeutic settings. Accurate amplitude interpretation is foundational to both QEEG analysis and effective neurofeedback implementation. Causes of excessive alpha amplitudes. Excessive alpha amplitude can arise from a variety of physiological and behavioral states. One common cause is sleep deprivation, which may slow the peak frequency of alpha and increase its amplitude during waking rest. This paradoxical increase reflects cortical attempts to conserve energy and maintain homeostasis. Meditation and other relaxation techniques can also elevate alpha amplitude, especially if practiced consistently. These increases are generally considered adaptive, promoting calm awareness and reduced sensory reactivity. Conversely, excessive alpha during eyes-open conditions may indicate underarousal or disengagement. This is particularly relevant in clinical populations with ADHD, traumatic brain injury, or certain mood disorders. Marijuana use has also been associated with persistent alpha elevation and peak frequency slowing, even long after cessation. These patterns may interfere with sustained attention and executive function, depending on their localization and coherence. Monitoring and modulating alpha amplitude can thus play a role in cognitive rehabilitation and mood stabilization. When evaluating alpha amplitude, it is essential to consider individual baselines, medication effects, and contextual factors. Some individuals may naturally exhibit higher alpha due to temperament or learned regulation skills. Others may show abnormal increases that correlate with dysfunction or compensatory cortical processes. Clinical goals should determine whether amplitude enhancement or suppression is appropriate. Alpha amplitude provides a key marker for assessing both trait-like tendencies and state-dependent brain changes. Mu rhythm, 711 Hz. The mu rhythm occupies a frequency range that overlaps with alpha, but has a distinct morphology and functional significance. It is typically observed over sensorimotor regions, particularly at C3 and C4, and is thought to reflect motor system idling. Unlike posterior alpha, mu rhythm has a sharper comb-like shape and is suppressed during actual or imagined movement. This suppression or desynchronization occurs not only when the individual moves, but also when they observe others performing actions, linking mu rhythm to mirror neuron activity. This association makes the mu rhythm a potential marker for social cognition and motor planning. Mu rhythm is of particular interest in disorders involving motor and social functioning, such as autism spectrum disorder, ASD, and attention deficit or hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. In individuals with ASD, mu suppression may be reduced, possibly reflecting impairments in action understanding and imitation. Enhancing mu reactivity or training its desynchronization may support rehabilitation and cognitive development. In neurofeedback, protocols targeting mu are sometimes used to improve motor control or reduce impulsivity. Understanding mu rhythm adds depth to both diagnostic assessment and therapeutic planning. In healthy individuals, mu rhythm varies with attention, movement, intention, and empathy. Its modulation reflects dynamic integration between sensory input, motor readiness, and social perception. As a neurophysiological indicator, mu rhythm bridges sensorimotor processing and higher-order cognition. It is a useful feature in brain-computer interface, BCI, development due to its reliable suppression with motor imagery. Clinically and technologically, mu rhythm exemplifies how brainwave patterns support both overt and covert actions. Synchronous alpha. Synchronous alpha refers to the widespread coordination of alpha rhythms across different sensory and association cortices. While localized alpha activity, such as occipital alpha or mu rhythm, may reflect regional inhibition, synchronous alpha represents global network integration. This form of alpha activity is associated with a state of relaxed alertness, where sensory input is selectively filtered and internal processing is prioritized. Synchronous alpha enhances communication efficiency between brain regions, especially during tasks involving sensory integration or motor preparation. It is often observed during meditative states, flow experiences, and periods of calm focus. The emergence of synchronous alpha can override localized rhythms, such as mu or posterior alpha. In neurofeedback, enhancing synchronous alpha is used to support attention, reduce stress, and promote global cortical coherence. For example, increased alpha synchrony has been associated with creative thinking, emotional regulation, and cognitive resilience. It is also linked to enhanced neuroplasticity, potentially increasing the brain's capacity to learn and reorganize. These properties make synchronous alpha a powerful target in neurotherapeutic interventions. From a systems neuroscience perspective, synchronous alpha reflects long-range coordination enabled by corticothalamic loops. Its presence suggests an organized and efficient neural landscape. When disrupted, as in anxiety or trauma, the brain may exhibit fragmented or asymmetrical alpha patterns. By restoring synchrony, clinicians aim to improve not only mental clarity, but also emotional and autonomic balance. In this way, synchronous alpha serves as a unifying marker of adaptive brain function. sensory motor rhythm, 13 to 15 Hz. The sensory motor rhythm, SMR, is a narrow band of beta activity recorded over the sensory motor strip, specifically at sites C3, CZ, and C4. It is associated with physical stillness and motor inhibition, increasing in amplitude when the motor system is at rest. SMR desynchronizes during movement or motor preparation and resynchronizes during inactivity. This makes it a valuable indicator of readiness and calm motor control. SMR is commonly trained in neurofeedback to reduce hyperactivity, tics, and impulsivity. SMR has gained attention in attention training, particularly in ADHD, where its enhancement is linked to improved inhibitory control and reduced distractibility. It is also targeted in sleep disorders, as higher SMR amplitudes are associated with better sleep onset and maintenance. The physiological basis of SMR involves thalamocortical circuits that regulate motor tone and behavioral readiness. SMR overlaps with sleep spindles seen in stage 2 sleep, highlighting its role in transitions between rest and activation. Clinically, SMR training is employed not just for symptom reduction, but also for performance optimization. Athletes, musicians, and other professionals use SMR biofeedback to cultivate a state of relaxed alertness and motor precision. It supports learning by enhancing attentional gating and minimizing motor noise. In both rehabilitation and enhancement contexts, SMR represents a central rhythm in neuroregulation. Its targeted modulation reflects a powerful approach to calming the nervous system and sharpening focus. Beta, over 12 Hz. Beta rhythms span from 12 to 38 Hz and are generally divided into lower beta, beta 1, 12 to 15 Hz, mid-range beta, beta 2, 15 to 20 Hz, and high beta, beta 3, 4, 20, 35 Hz. These frequencies are associated with active mental engagement, problem solving, and sustained attention. Beta activity is typically strongest in the frontal regions and increases during cognitive tasks, analytical thinking, or external focus. In neurofeedback, beta training is used to enhance focus and mental agility, but it must be carefully monitored due to overlap with muscle activity. Excessive beta may reflect anxiety, rumination, or cortical overactivation. While moderate beta activity supports cognition, heightened beta amplitudes can signal stress or inefficient processing. This is especially true for high beta, which is often elevated in individuals with insomnia, generalized anxiety, or obsessive-compulsive tendencies. In contrast, deficient beta may correspond with lethargy, distractibility, or cognitive underperformance. The distribution of beta also matters. Right frontal excess may be linked to worry, while left frontal reductions may relate to depressive symptoms. Clinicians use these patterns to tailor interventions and monitor therapeutic progress. Beta can also be targeted for performance enhancement, especially in tasks requiring vigilance and sustained attention. Pilots, air traffic controllers, and other high-performance professionals may benefit from precise beta modulation. When used judiciously, beta neurofeedback sharpens alertness and mental endurance. However, training should be balanced with protocols that maintain emotional regulation and somatic relaxation. As with all EEG bands, beta's role is context-dependent and multifaceted. Gamma rhythms, 2880 Hz. Gamma rhythms represent the fastest EEG oscillations typically observed in the range of 28 to 80 Hz, although some definitions extend beyond this. These rhythms are associated with high-level cognitive functions such as perception, consciousness, and memory integration. Gamma oscillations are believed to support feature binding, the integration of sensory inputs into a unified percept. They are also implicated in problem-solving, language processing, and meditative absorption. Gamma is often observed in conjunction with other rhythms, suggesting a modulatory or integrative role across networks. Gamma activity is generated by fast-spiking inner neurons that synchronize large populations of pyramidal neurons. This synchrony supports precise timing of information transfer and enhances communication between brain regions. High gamma activity, especially when phase-locked to slower rhythms, may enable cross-frequency coupling and hierarchical information processing. In individuals with cognitive deficits, such as in schizophrenia or dementia, gamma activity is often reduced. Conversely, heightened gamma synchrony has been reported in expert meditators and during peak performance states. Clinically, gamma is challenging to train due to its low amplitude and vulnerability to artifact contamination, especially from muscle activity. Nonetheless, it is a promising biomarker for cognitive vitality and neural efficiency. Gamma neurofeedback is being explored for memory enhancement, creativity, and consciousness research. Its measurement requires high signal fidelity and careful artifact control, often utilizing advanced equipment. Gamma exemplifies the dynamic and multidimensional nature of brain activity underlying human experience. Conclusion. In this lecture, we explored the hierarchical and integrative structure of the human brain, from its gross anatomical features to its rhythmic, electrical activity, and cellular components. We examined the organization of the cortex and subcortical structures, the pathways by which the brain communicates within itself and with the body, and the protective and vascular systems that support its function. Understanding how directional terms, anatomical planes, and structural subdivisions interrelate equips clinicians with a precise vocabulary and framework for interpreting neuroimaging and neurological examination findings. Our discussion of EEG rhythms illustrated how various frequency bands correspond to distinct states of arousal, cognition, and behavior. We reviewed the neurophysiological origins of these rhythms, whether from cortical resonant loops, thalamic pacemakers, or subcortical modulators like the locus coeruleus, and emphasized their relevance to clinical and therapeutic practice. Each rhythm, from delta to gamma, reveals different aspects of neural processing and offers unique opportunities for assessment and intervention through techniques like neurofeedback. Microanatomically, we highlighted the critical roles of neurons and glial cells in synaptic signaling, neurotransmitter dynamics, and structural plasticity. These microscopic features underpin all macroscopic brain functions, providing the substrate for learning, memory, and emotional regulation. Advances in our understanding of processes like neurogenesis, gliotransmission, and silent synapse activation have deepened our appreciation for the brain's adaptability and complexity. For psychologists and counselors, this knowledge serves as a foundation for more informed, biologically grounded approaches to assessment and treatment. Whether working with neurofeedback, psychoeducation, or therapeutic interventions, understanding the neural substrates of behavior enhances therapeutic precision. It also reinforces the value of interdisciplinary collaboration and lifelong learning in the neuroscientific dimensions of mental health care. Ultimately, this lecture affirms the brain's role as both an anatomical structure and a dynamic system, one whose patterns of activity reflect and shape our experiences, identities, and healing processes. By continuing to deepen our neuroscientific literacy, we strengthen our ability to support meaningful change and resilience in the clients we serve.